beaded earring, I'm like, I'll just make another one. I'll just make the mate.
Nice. To it. See, that's smart.
Yeah.
But then what if you found the other one and then there's three? Then you could just interchange
them. Now you have to like coordinate and accessorize. Like who needs a beret?
Or give some to an alien with three ears.
Right. Right. Make a little pin or like a brooch.
Set up at the vendor at Monsters Incorporated. Right. Here's a three pair earring.
Oh yeah, for your three ear dog. Yeah.
You are listening to Medicine Bundle, and I am so thankful. And I'm thankful to my friend Dee for letting me be who I am.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Halusa Nation.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, he knew, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jaji and Choka. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. And now shop now at causecart.shop and search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pinigigi.
Right on. Hey, we have a jam-packed show here, and we have our friend Ruth and Ruth Lowe, who's CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And Ruth, welcome as always. And it looks like you have a few people here that we'd love to hear from. Take it away.
Yes. Hi, Dosha and Madzigenads. Thanks for having us on again. I have two special guests with me today. I have Angela Barnes and potentially, and yes, also Cheyenne Kinsley with the Nujimo and Drop-In Center. So I will turn it over to Angela and Cheyenne.
Right on. Hey, Angela, tell us a little bit about what you do there at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And welcome, by the way. Oh, what?
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it. My name is Angela Barnes, and I'm the director of the Nujimo Department and Programming, which is our gender-based violence programming. We help women, Native women who are experiencing sexual assault, sexual exploitation, and domestic violence or intimate partner violence. And then I'm also just stepped into a bit of a new role here, directing the Wewoke Drop-In Center, where we help unsheltered Native women who are experiencing mental health, chemical dependency, unsheltered, and in need of basic needs. So,
when it comes to chemical dependency, do you help your clients and your friends and relatives with like Rule 25 and things like that?
We do not do the Rule 25s. However, we have a partnership with Red Lake, and we are able to refer for mental health and substance use. resources.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Wow. I'm really excited, Ruth, Anna, and you have part of your team here. What other points would you like to bring up with Angela?
Gosh, they do such amazing work. Really, you know, behind the scenes, a lot of work. And, you know, Minnesota is one of the states or present day states that have such a high rate of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. So a lot of what is done underneath the MIWRC umbrella really prevents a lot of further tragedies from happening. You know, we are in a critical juncture where we are looking for more ways to keep the doors open, to ensure that the doors are open. And now more than ever, you know, I think back to like the work previously done in another life, I guess you could say, with human trafficking and trying to address that. And during the pandemic, I was a tribal navigator for North Dakota's human trafficking task force. And it was really eye-opening to see that during the pandemic, during the shutdown, that human trafficking didn't let up. Like it was, you know, if not, of course, steadily going, but it almost had a slight increase, you know, according to what data was reported. And so it's still a very high needs, high intense area where we need to come together, work together, even share resources, cost share to find ways to keep our women, trans relatives safe. Because unfortunately, you know, the data and what studies and the patterns out there show that our Native women are targeted, you know, and a lot of women and trans relatives do come here to the cities, potentially thinking there's more resources here, or also to help, you know, feed the addiction. Or a lot of women and trans relatives are held captive in trafficking through addiction, you know, so everything is really connected. And I'm so proud of the staff here. We use a very comprehensive approach, public health through a public health lens, you know, in all the ways of course, centering who we are as Indigenous peoples, to prevention, to keeping families together, to really providing a brave and nurturing, loving space for our relatives to get connected to resources. Like Angela mentioned, whether it's connecting people, individuals, families in the community to treatment, to housing resources, you know, we're just trying to do our part and fulfill our responsibility as good relatives. So.
Well, I believe what for me is really interesting, Angela, I want to ask you a quick question. How do you take care of yourself? Because these kind of things can be draining on your soul with all this work that you have to do. Talk a little bit about that, how you take care of yourself. And I know I want to ask you too, Ruth Anna, because you are right in the boots on the ground too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the really important things is that we have a good team. We have Ruth is an amazing support system. We have a great team in that we are able to lean on each other for support. So that's huge, is feeling like you're not alone in things. I think we also... Ruth encourages and helps with making sure that staff that we're utilizing the medicines that we have access to traditional services, events, and it's great. I think that's a huge component. Trying to do things that are not that are for family oriented. I go home, I have twin 17-year-old boys, and so I spend a lot of time with them and my husband because it helps kind of balance out. So
right. Yeah, that's I always am concerned about that because we have a lot of people that come on the show that are in the community and doing work for the community, and I always want to bring that up. That is in Cheyenne, is it by any chance?
Hi.
Yes, technical difficulties over there. Hello.
Diane's in two places. Ho. Do you want to introduce Cheyenne, Ruth Anna?
Yes. Cheyenne first started out in the drop-in center as a support worker, and she came to MIWRC with a wealth of information and knowledge. And so we're so happy and thankful to have her on board. Like all of our staff, they have, you know, of course, their expertise and skill set, but they also have like really beautiful talents and, you know, hobbies and things that that keep them whole and keep them, you know, a stellar teammate. And so Cheyenne has a beautiful voice, and she gives back to the community by offering in partnership with other beautiful singers in the community, you know, just sharing their gifts and sharing healing, you know, and helping everybody feel welcome, and just a beautiful gift to have her, you know, her on board and her voice. I was gonna tease her and say there's our little songbird. Just kidding. But yeah,
that's awesome. Well, we only have Ruth Anna, we only have a minute left in the segment, so next segment maybe we can have Cheyenne sing us a little song. What do you think? What do you think of that? Wow, this is amazing. And I got my Hinu on, and she's knows a lot about addiction too. And it's hard for us. There's so many of our relatives that are stuck in this, and I feel like you know, drug addiction is in all those things are a spiritual disease, and we are spiritual beings, and especially us natives. And I don't want to just take that from other people out there, but I believe we're so spiritual, and that's what's damaged the most. I want to take a quick break and come back. I'm here with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, led by Ruth Anna Buffalo. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and traditions.
Hey, we have the gang from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we have Ruth Anna Buffalo here, the CEO. And Ruth, take it away there. Maybe we can hear a little singing from your coworker. Ho-wa.
Sure. Yeah, I'll turn it over to Cheyenne.
All right.
Hello, Bujibu. My name is Cheyenne Hinsley. I'm St. Croix Ojibwe, and I'm Ho-Chunk, originally from Wisconsin. And yes, I do help co-facilitate a women's singing group, backup learning circle, in partnership with CLAN. Wednesdays during the drum and dance, along with Tiana Spotted Thunder and Crystal Norcross. So I'm going to share a song that we just recently learned, and we sang both at drum and dance and cedar ceremony last week. And my brother Buster Dunkley taught me the words of this, and it's called the Spirit Bear Song. And he described the song to me that is talking about calling that spirit bear in, and that it'll bring healing to us, to the Anishinaabe, like on earth here. So bear with me for a minute, as I'm super shy, surprisingly. So we all hey, I oh hey, I oh hey, oh hey, oh hey, oh hey, oh hey, oh hey, I ho hey, oh 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 hey, o hey, oh. Money do my quambe, oh my, oh, hell, hey, oh, hey, oh. We do kawashi, a neshna be, a ki, oh, hell, hey, hey, oh. Money do my quambe, oh my, oh, hell, hey, oh, hey, oh. We do kawashi a neshna be a ki a iho heo.
Excuse me for my shaking. I'm usually singing behind a bunch of men and I'm not that scared.
Oh, well, that was beautiful and I really, really appreciate that. And I know our audience does too, seriously. A tear in my eye, and especially when you said you were part Ho-Chunk. Ho!
Yeah, my dad is Ho-Chunk from Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. So,
yeah, so Jaleesa and I, ho!
Cousins, eh?
Hey, that's right. Hey, Eagle Clan, we fly over the other clans. Ho!
Thunder yeah. Clan over here.
Oh, 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 well, you fly over us.
A little bit. Amy over.
Oh, oh. Well, Ruth, before I forget, too, I'd really love if you would be able to just let people out there know how they can support and learn more, because you know me, I have a good memory, but it's short, and I want to make sure that we get that out there before the segment ends.
Sure, yeah. Our website, miwrc.org /donate, if you're able to help support the good work here at MIWRC. We recently celebrated our 40th anniversary last September. And we want the goal is to keep the doors open, you know, 40 years plus and beyond, 40 more years and beyond. So we have a great team, do good work. And yes, please, miwrc.org/donate to donate.
Perfect. Hey, Angela, what made you want to work for Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? How did that all come about? What was your journey?
Wanting to work in community and to, I know that we all know how high the rates of sexual assault and gender-based violence are in community. And I think it's really important to be able to help each other and support and lift up women who have experienced and our Two-Spirit relatives too that have experienced violence. And that was the main drive, and to be able to help my people too. You know, it's really important. So that's what got me started at MIWRC.
That's amazing. And we need doers out there. And I appreciate it. The work needs to be done, and people need to step up. And I really appreciate that. Cheyenne, how did you hear about Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Well, actually, I worked down the street. I was actually at another community organization, and thought, well, why not? I'm a Native woman. Let's try it. Let's try it out. I heard a lot of beautiful things about MIWRC and all the good work that they were doing. So, I took my shot, and I'm here. And started out in the drop-in center with supportive services through that way, and then eventually made my way to Nujimo, and I now work as a victim services advocate alongside Angela and help our women who are in need of those types of services, help stabilize them.
Wow. Ruth, Anna, you must be really proud to work with a group of strong women like this, and I know how many employees are at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
We have 22 employees, and we're, I would say a pretty skeleton crew based off of the need that is out there, so we're thankful for WEX workers and the COA workers, to help support the good work here at MIWRC. We also have 4 interns from Metro State that are with us now until December, and then we'll get another group in January. So we're super thankful for the support, but I would definitely say our staff are stretched thin, so we're super thankful for the community support. the volunteers, and, you know, just everybody coming together to help each other live. You know, I think that's one thing that's really detrimental is the shortened lifespan, which could be prevented, you know, premature deaths and things. And so we want to help everybody live a long, healthy, good life, you know, like the next person.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's amazing. It's been around 40 years. I'm wondering, Hinu, do you have any questions? Because this is right up your alley, too. You're involved in the service to our community in, through a lot of different ways, but I don't want to blow your anonymity, but, you know.
Yeah, well, first of all, forgive me for any of the background noise. I'm with my niece and nephew in the back, so thanks for allowing me to have my niece on for a little bit this morning. Or this morning, my goodness, this evening. you know, I was just going to say, this isn't a question, but we have a viewer that's been thanking you, Cheyenne, for your beautiful song. And she's Shantina Freeman says, bless you all. At MIWRC. So I just wanted you to know that you have a viewer that keeps commenting on Facebook here, and I wanted to get them there.
It's really Shantina.
Yeah, so it's really fun to see all the viewers on Facebook, and I just wanted to give them a shout out and everybody that comments especially. And thank you all, Pina Gigi, for your work. I work in the field, and I was able to work specifically, start a Native program at my work, for people that are suffering from the disease of addiction. So Pina Gigi to you all.
Yes, it's an awesome thing, and I really believe that we can really, as a group, Ruth Anna, of people, can help our community, and that's all we can do is help, and that's what I think we're put on this earth for, is to help our community and not hurt them.
Agree 100%. And, you know, things evolve over time, and something that may have worked years ago is not working today, and so we have to adjust with the times, you know, so it's ever, you know, constant with change, you know, so, but flowing like water for sure.
Absolutely. That is beautiful. We only got like a minute left. Is there anything, Elsa, that you, people from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center would like to let our audience know?
I'll turn it over to Angela and Cheyenne.
I guess.
Good.
I guess just inviting any survivors of sexual assault, domestic violence, or human trafficking. If you guys are interested, we have a Native Survivors Empowerment Group every other Friday here at MIWRC that I help facilitate from 1:30 to 3:30, where we do like traditional craft. We like to sit around and just, you know, just being together is empowerment. And I do actually teach our ladies in our group now some singing as well. I've kind of carried that over from our other group, and our women are learning the Lakota women's song from Sissy Goodhouse. So anybody who's interested in that, you guys are more than welcome to come to our group and get in contact with me and let me know. We'll be happy to have you.
Wow, beautiful. Ruth Anna Buffalo, thank you so much for sharing your people with us. This was a very beautiful show, and thank you so much.
Lots of good odds.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Peenie Geeky. Peenie Geeky, hey. This is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we got Trickster Tacos. Something's happening in the community called Trickster Tacos. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Oh.
Yeah, stay with us.
Tapestry Folk Dance Center has partnered with the City of St. Paul for live music and dancing at Harriet Island.
Enjoy no-cost dances including Contra, Nordic, Cumbia, and International Folk Dance.
That's Tuesday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m. from June 3rd through July 8th. Everyone welcome, no experience necessary.
Find weekly dances and events at tapestryfolkdance.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and here we are with State Senator Mary Kunish, who must be totally exhausted. And good on you and your the people you work with, because I saw, you know, the media here in the Twin Cities was saying there's no way that you guys are going to get this done, and you got it done. So big kudos to you and your workers, but you must be exhausted.
I am. I have to tell you, you know, we had that special session on Monday, as I said, started at 11 in the morning, went till 1:30. But, you know, it's not just that that was a long day. The weeks following up to it were exhausting as well as we negotiated our bills. You know, I had the education K-12 bill that, in spite of, you know, not having everything I wanted, and I had to make concessions. The biggest one was around special education. But, you know, it takes a toll on a person. You don't know how you're just going until you're not. And then you just kind of like, whoa, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. So, it's taking me a few days here to catch up. Like Tuesday, I probably slept most of the day and it was totally low energy. And then yesterday even, I did get out and about and do a few things, but I was in bed as soon as I could. And today it's overcast here in Minnesota and rainy now. So It's just the sort of day, low energy, and just kind of want to crawl back in bed again. Yeah.
Yeah. We have that, air quality too is not good today either. And so That's part of, at least takes my superpowers down as a older person is like, why am I so tired and why am I coughing? It's like, oh, the air. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about this. And I know by looking at social media and the news that this was not only a hard session, but hard votes were happening. And, the health care for our undocumented relatives, talk us through that a little bit. I know, this was really, really difficult.
That was perhaps the hardest, most painful vote I have experienced in my 9 years as a state legislator. You know, even as we speak now, I get really emotional about this. Mm. You know, the fact that that our Republicans, this was their number one goal for the session. So Minnesota had agreed 2 years ago to provide health care for undocumented relatives. And as we know, the vast majority of these undocumented persons are working in some of the most unglamorous jobs, you know, in our packing houses, In our agriculture, roofing. Oftentimes they're in our nursing homes. They're in the back of kitchens and doing the work that nobody else will do. And when Americans say, oh, they're stealing all our jobs, none of them will take those jobs, which is why those people are here trying to build a good life for themselves. Like all of our ancestors, our non-Indigenous ancestors did. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that we had to roll back healthcare for undocumented adults. This, as I said, was a priority for our Republican counterparts, though there were a few of our Democratic members in the Senate that did vote for it. Mm-hmm. But the one concession is that the undocumented children will still be eligible for Minnesota care. Mm-hmm. So that was really important. And when this all came up, we, talking about the Posse Caucus in Minnesota,
right.
People of Color, Indigenous, those are all of our legislators of color, of which I am one, mm-hmm. Tried to negotiate that the elders and those with life-threatening health issues like cancer or diabetes or some of those sort of things would continue. I mean, for humanitarian reasons, right?
Right.
Would be able to continue to do that. But the Republicans absolutely said no. And, you know, they threatened they wouldn't sign anything. They wouldn't come to a special session with that threat of government shutdown. And it really forced us Democrats to do something that, you know, we are morally against in so many ways. And it's crazy because the Republicans will say they're stealing millions of thousands of billions of dollars from mm-hmm. our taxpayers, but it's really only $57 million in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the big picture, that's chump change. So $57 million over the next 2 years. And we're going to have to cut about $283 million in order to reduce the deficit. So that isn't going to make that much difference. And really, at the end of the day, the Republicans just wanted to make sure that about 17,000 people
mm-hmm.
are without health care. And as Senator Elise Mann, you know, so she's just so passionate. And when she speaks, she's a doctor herself, emergency mm-hmm. room doctor. She's mm-hmm. like, 17,000 people are being left out to die.
Right.
Because we worsen our healthcare system and we decrease our tax revenue. And these are people that at the end of the day, hopefully will go to the emergency room when they have healthcare needs.
Right.
But emergency care is not healthcare. And that just costs more and more and more. And so that was a really, really, really hard. And we didn't, you know, the Posse Caucus didn't know that was going to be coming, in this session. And here it was. And we tried to cap undocumented enroll. We tried to raise premiums, you know, allowing those children who are already enrolled to retain it instead of aging out, make exceptions for elderly people or those with chronic conditions. But at the end of the day, you know, none of those things were accepted by it. And the amendment to cut those people out went through, and it's a heartbreak. It's really, really a heartbreak. And by calculations of some of those people, they're estimating that it's actually going to cost $3 billion over the next decade.
Well, that's what I'm.
So that's not saving us any money,
right? And it's more of a racist move, and their constituents want this, and it's not saving money, and that's what the Republicans keep on saying. And I'm just going, well, aren't they paying into it? I mean, they're working,
yeah.
And you know,
I
saw some of the posts from the Posse, and I really saw you in there, and I just really felt bad because this is going to bite us in the next couple of years, and that's just another thing that we're going to have to really rev up here, especially with what's going on federally with Trump and him wanting to take over state National Guards and bring the Marines in, and you can't protest against him. This mm-hmm. is a big setup now for 2026 and martial law and all those things. So we have to stay really vigilant and talk our truth like you are every week here on Native Roots Radio.
Thanks. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, we did pass some really good stuff, but it kind of drowns out, you know, with something like that. But, you know, we were able to address affordable housing, some public safety. Of course, we balanced the budget for the next 2 years. Next year will be considered a policy year, but that doesn't mean there won't be a supplemental budget. You know, there should be some money generated by taxes that we might be able to use. I think it's great for, you know, as the economy starts to flounder more and more. Mm-hmm. I'm really concerned about housing and housing safety.
Right.
And especially for our elderly, like if they actually do anything around Medicaid and Social Security, those are the two largest items that most elderly people, you know, number right. one, they depend on that Social Security, and they depend on that Medicaid for their health care.
Right.
If those things go away, whatever very fixed incomes these people are going to be gone. And I'm so worried that we'll find more and more elderly folks with unstable housing or no housing and no health care. And, you know, that is going to be a huge burden, expense on our public dollars, and we should be taking care of them. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying I won't do that.
Right.
But the reality is really so. We did pass some emergency rental assistance and housing infrastructure bonds to build more affordable homes. We had that big Feeding Your Future kerfuffle a couple years ago with the COVID dollars. So mm-hmm. We created a office of the Inspector General who will, you know, have oversight of the public dollars and looking for those kind of scams and things like that. We did put more money into funding for roads and bridges. And of course, Minnesota is in our our road construction season everywhere you go. Jeez. But we were able to get that. Of course, we got our 2-year budget for education done. Mm-hmm. One thing, you know, we might notice that more and more like small local pharmacies are closing, especially in rural Minnesota,
yeah.
Which is really sad. And so we were able to put some support for those small local pharmacies through medical assistance. We made some changes to the physician assistant licensure so that PAs can be, yes. that are trained in other states can move to Minnesota and start practicing. So there were some, you know, there were good things, but yeah.
And the paraprofessional, that's awesome too.
Yep.
The unemployment
yep.
for them.
Yep. We continue that.
Yeah,
yep.
that's awesome. Hey, State Senator Mary Kunesh, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for doing all this work for the community and for everyone across Minnesota. I really appreciate you stopping in and letting everyone know what's going on.
You bet.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we are always blessed to have State Senator Mary Kunesh on, and I know the session ended just recently, and I'd love to hear what your take is on it. Welcome, State Senator.
Well, hamatakiape, everybody. It's good to be here with you, Robert. We did finally end our legislative session in a one-day marathon this past Monday that had us covering like 14 bills between the hours of, I think we started at 11 in the morning, and the Senate ended at about 1:30 Tuesday morning. And so there was a lot to get through. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. I was so glad that we were finally able to end the session,
right.
Because it was there was a lot hanging out there, and we had to. I mean, we literally had to do that in order to keep our to keep the doors open on the state government, mm-hmm. And to prevent any kind of a shutdown. So it was again pretty amazing.
Yeah, it totally was. And I know there was a lot of naysayers out there in the press that didn't think this was going to happen. And I don't know about surprisingly, but it did happen. And that's kudos on you and the people you work with.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. We, you know, in Minnesota, we weren't able to finish and come to agreements in a lot of the different committees in time by the time that we should have recessed or adjourned. So we did end up just recessing, not adjourn, and then spent close to 2 weeks negotiating a lot of the bills that still hadn't been completed. And it was a lot of work. It was really exhausting work for many, and I have to call out our leadership in the House and the Senate, our DFL Democrat leadership. Aaron Murphy worked mm-hmm. tirelessly, and it wasn't just negotiating with, you know, like the GOP members, but because the House is a tied body. It's negotiating with Democrats and Republicans in the House, and then coming back and working with our Senate members. And, you know, we don't all think alike. I know people think we often just vote party line without thinking about what we're doing, but that really isn't the case at all. We have folks that feel really strongly in different ways on different subjects. And so we find ourselves, you know, working with each other in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, we're trying to convince each other that our bill needs their vote. And because our Senate has just a one person majority, unless we know that our Republicans are going to vote for our bill, you know, or even if they say they will, you know, we can't always count on that really happening. And so we have to make sure that we have all of us together. But we had to pass our HHS budget bill, Health and Human Services. Yeah. We had the Commerce bill to get passed. Our transportation bill was, you know, there were some real sticking points in there. Senator Hoffman's Human Service target budget bill had to get done. My K-12 education budget bill. Yay, we got it passed.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't get everything I wanted in there. I had to give up a lot. It was a really tough one, but I did get the funding for our 4 BIE schools. I did pass a more doable mascot bill in there.
Yeah.
We opened up tribal schools can now apply for grants and other programs, board of programs that they had that every other school district would have been able to do. So now tribal schools can apply to those as well as any of our charter schools. So mm-hmm. that was some really good stuff.
Yeah.
We had a huge discussion about data centers. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of them coming to Minnesota or are here already. And, you know, they've come in very kind of quietly that most Minnesotans don't recognize that there are so many here. And the fact that some of the really large large data centers are vying to come to Minnesota, which, you know, on the one hand sounds really great because with that comes jobs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're the DFL, the Democrat Farmer Labor Party.
Right.
And so labor is, you know, a really big part of our focus.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised to bring, you know, provide thousands of jobs, which we want and
right.
we need.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, how much are we willing to sacrifice the environmental issues that come with that? Because data centers take a lot of energy.
Right.
And so if we're trying to reduce our footprint, our carbon footprint and come up with a green plan, I don't know that that's the best way to do it. Plus, they take a lot of water.
Yep.
I mean, really suck up a lot of water. And if it's one thing we're proud of here in Minnesota, in the land of 10,000 plus lakes,
right.
Is our water. I mean, that is one of our, you know, the things that we're most prideful and we value. And I don't think, you know, I've researched the amount of water it takes.
Right.
We don't know the long-term effects.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
you know, very much so that communities might make agreements and then realize their aquifers are being depleted.
Exactly.
Or there's a low-level sound that's emitted from the building, and they, mm-hmm. you know, in some communities they've put them near residential areas, and now the residents are like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
You know, so there's a lot to consider. And so we've just begun working on regulating data centers and how we can best make sure that we're doing what we need to do to support labor and to provide these data centers, because as we all use AI,
right.
Artificial intelligence more and more, not mm-hmm. A1,
yeah.
as the director of education at the federal level was referring to it.
Oh my God.
But so that was a really big conversation, and mm-hmm. that was a tough conversation. And at the end of the day, many, I think, if not all of these data centers are receiving very juicy tax breaks.
Oh, boy.
You know, they don't pay property tax or different taxes. And at a time when, you know, Minnesota and so many other states are feeling the crunch, when we give these big tax breaks to, you know, companies that can easily afford to pay these taxes,
boy.
But they don't. I think Senator McQuaid pointed out that the amount of tax for one of these data centers would be enough to totally 100% support special education in Minnesota.
Oh my gosh. So that's yeah. kind of dark, because I know not only that Bitcoin has these data centers, and are we going to see any of that? And if we're not taxing them, what are we getting out of it other than maybe limited non-union jobs?
Right. Well, they promised lots of good labor jobs. There was, they did agree to prevailing wages, which means that when they are employing and hiring, that they use the going rate, the going wages that are established in our state, so they can't undercut. But there's much more work to be done around that, and we had. That was a really tough vote for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough one. And then we had our taxes. Oh, did you have one more thing to say about that?
Yeah, sorry. It's up and coming here, and I think the things that you brought up about the water, the energy, and how much it takes, that's pretty mind-blowing too. And I know it's up and coming, and we had, you know, Bob Blake on yesterday, and he was just saying how in 5 years our energy rate's going to double because of these places. And where are we going to get that? And if we're not getting any help with renewables, whether it's solar panels or wind farms, we're in deep trouble here in Minnesota. Hey, State Senator, we have to take a quick break here, but I want to talk more about this, and I also want to talk about that really controversial bill that the health care for our undocumented relatives, if you don't mind. We're going to take a quick break.
Sure, let's do that.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with State Senator Mary Kunish.
The Legacy Building presents The Soul of the South Side Juneteenth Festival. Visit soulofthesouthside.com for all the details. Join us on June 19th from 12 to 8 p.m. at Minnehaha Avenue and East Lake Street in South Minneapolis. This free Juneteenth festival features storytelling, family activities, high culture lounge, immersive experiences, a Black-owned marketplace, live art, and so much more. Join us on June 19th from 12 to 8 p.m. at East Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue in South Minneapolis for the Soul of the South Side Juneteenth Festival. Find all the details at soulofthesouthside.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, in this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No. Well, what a fun show. Really happy to have Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center with us weekly, and to bring some people on. I think that's a great idea to talk about. And you could see the excitement that they have and for working for this organization, Jaleesa.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you have those consistent people that, I mean, there's a reason why you can keep them on consistently, because they always have more things to share in their, you know, our community. I like what Ruth Ann said about, you know, it's always flowing. Everything's always ebbing and flowing and changing, and to keep up with that for our people, right?
Yeah, definitely. So it really, people in the community, boots on the ground, it really helps to hear this information. It really helps to hear, like, business like Trickster Tacos, too, that are doing well, because there's always so much doom and gloom. And we talk about doom and gloom here, you know, with what's going on nationally. And so it's always a great you know, breath of fresh air to hear good things that's still happening in our community here.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Like I said earlier, I love the question that you asked, how do you take care of yourself? Well, they mentioned coworkers, and that just reminds me of community and going to different events, like we said. And, you know, I'm constantly wanting to, part of, like, you know, my work and my job is to let my Native clients know what events are happening in the community, because there's only so much we can do in our closed group, right? So then it's like, what can we do? Oh, well, everybody, hey, there's a food truck, you know, event this summer, like, you know, or these different organizations and different meetings that they have at the American Indian Center and at, you know, at the St. Paul Family Indian Center and all these things. So it's just like kind of fun to share, you know, what's going on in the community so that they can be in community, take care of themselves and have some fun, you know, outside of the closed groups that we have.
Yeah. And, you know, I've really, the last few years really have gotten involved with Franklin Avenue in the Minneapolis corridor of Native Americans. We have Native American community clinic there that's putting that's I just drove by, and their whole parking lot's being dug up because of that big expansion that they're having there, and the community deserves that. And you know, with your work, it's really important to support community, you know, and mm-hmm. help people and look like the people that we're helping.
Absolutely. It's empowering to see the growth. You know, there's been just so many horrible things happening in our communities. And, you know, as we know with our local government and our national government, but, you know, we keep resisting and we keep growing. So, yeah, I'm very excited about the American Indian Center and all that's going on Franklin Ave.
Yeah, definitely. We got Native American Community Development Institute, and they have the Four Sisters Market now every Thursday. They also have...
Remind me the time of that Four Sisters Market, Jaji. I'm sure the viewers know too, but...
Thanks. It's 11 to 3 every Thursday, and okay, it's one of those places to be seen, to be... you know, got to stop by and make an appearance and their trucks open, their food trucks open, and Powwow Grounds food truck, and also you can stop in and see the art that's there, and then also the coffee shop, and then they have all the vendors there on Thursday too. So went last week; it was perfect weather, and great to be in community again with the nice weather. And you know, I got to give the Native American Community Development Institute a big shout out and all they do for the community, Franklin Avenue, and all the community out there.
Absolutely. So 11 to 3, you said. So I'll have to scoot out of a meeting early one day and go over there.
Hey, bring your clients.
I wonder even to just scoot on there as everybody's closing up, just to say hi to everybody and see all familiar faces, because there's a lot of good people.
Yeah, or even I like to get there early and leave early too, and just to see what's happening. And there's a lot of good booths there. I know we've tabled there last year, a Native Roots Trading Post. Really excited about this upcoming season. We'll be at the State Fair. I always like to bring that up. And then Dayton's in downtown Minneapolis, which I believe is going to be our fifth year.
Isn't that crazy? I was actually thinking about that. Is this our fourth State Fair?
Yeah. Well, we're doing this. I think it's our fifth. We're doing the same amount as we did at Dayton's. Yeah.
Wow. Jelaine and Micah, do you guys know? Is this our fifth?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth.
I'll have to look. Yeah,
because we did one more year of Dayton's.
Oh, okay. Huh. Because I thought it was the same. Well, we can talk about that again. But yeah, thought it was the same year. I thought it was the same year, and it was just a big surprise that the fair called us kind of last minute and said, we got a place for you. And it was like a game changer. Yes, we definitely are interested. And so the rest is history. We're really grateful to be there, because we know it takes a, like you hear from Trickster Tacos, they're going through like a big vetting system by getting in the fair. And I hope they get in the fair, because they definitely need to represent the Native community. I know we go out there and there's so much appropriation at the State Fair, you know, Native designs or Native inspired designs is basically stolen. And we talk about this a lot here in Native Roots Radio too, is that, you know, if you ever wonder about anything, you always ask who made this or who designed this. And if they can't tell you, it's somebody in China that did it or some, you know, so always ask.
I had this encounter with somebody who had some beautiful beaded jewelry on, and I just asked the question, who made it? And then it's a really great point too, because I think people get really shy about maybe purchasing and supporting Native businesses, and that be especially like jewelry or clothing. And you know, that's not appropriation, because that's supporting. But you know, hey, I got this from a Native made, Native owned booth at the State Fair or at a powwow or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm here supporting them. And they shared with me about their tribe and about their people. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you are supporting the artist. So if it's out there for sale, it's for sale for everybody. But again, just to back up, if you run into those situations like you did, just to ask who made this, you know. And exactly. I always try to buy as much Ho-Chunk stuff. So that's it's not an inappropriate question. So just a little heads up for our listeners too that might not know and that want to support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of my favorite parts about doing the fair. You know, we all work so hard to prepare for that. And then it's 10 days of working long days. But I mean,
you are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting.